Dear friends, it gives me great pleasure to be with you again for this second part dealing with a structure based on the septenaries, which you have already seen last time. Four septenaries with four introductions, and we have also seen that this structure gave us indications. I now suggest that we fill in the blanks of our text. In fact, between the trumpets and the bowls, that is, chapter 12, 13, and 14, and beyond chapter 16, stand still pending some gaps that must be filled. Therefore, in order to move forward in the structure of the text, the second indication will allow us to clearly understand some other truth, that is, the signs. Let us go back to our text of introduction, which we have already read, the beginning of chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 1.
Nous avons une introduction du chapitre 15, au début du chapitre 15.
Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. Now come up the seven plagues. They are presented as another sign. This means that they follow one or several other signs seen before. These signs may be found at the beginning of chapter 12, of which we are going to read the first three verses. Now, a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on her heads. We see here, at the beginning of chapter 12, two signs. A woman and a dragon. A woman in biblical symbolism always represents a people, especially a people in relation with God, that is to say God's people, a church or something of this nature. As for the dragon, we have a definition given in verse 9. Let us read it. The great dragon, the serpent of all, called the devil and Satan. Therefore, through these chapters 12, 13, and 14, we are told a story of a fight between the people of God and the dragon. This story brings us to another sign, the seven last plagues. Allow me to draw a red circle around the seven plagues and another red circle around the woman and the dragon. Now we have a series of five sets. Seven churches, seven seals, seven trumpets. The woman and the dragon inserted between the trumpets and the bowls and the seven bowls. It is good to note something here that will help us later. The seven plagues belong to two distinctive sets. marked in yellow, the whole septenary of which the seven plagues constitute the fourth series of the septenaries. But it is also a sign circled in red, and it comprises two main components. The first component is the woman and the dragon, and the second component is the seven plagues. The whole sets are signs. So, the plagues belong both to septenaries and signs. And what I would like to show now in a very simple way is that these sets, these parts, are held in a chronological order. The episode of the woman and the dragon ends with two solutions. At the end of chapter 14, we have the harvest and the grapes harvest. The harvest represents all the elected, the saved ones, while the grape harvest symbolizes all the lost. All the grapes, the lost, will be cast into the great wine press of the wrath of God. So this episode of chapter 12, 13 and 14 brings us to the threshold of the wrath. And if we go back to chapter 15, verse 1, what do we see? Let's read it. Revelation 15, 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. It is obvious that at the end of chapter 14, verse 20, we are told the following. Let's read from verse 19. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horse's bridle for 1,600 furlongs. So, we can say, the junction is wrath. The chapters 12, 13 and 14 brings us to the threshold of anger. The seven plagues are the expression of anger. We have here a chronological sequence. I'll show you that there is also a chronological sequence in the septenaries. The first septenary, the seven churches, gives us a panorama of history. I suggest we read it at the end of chapter 1. We find this in verse 19.
Nous trouvons ceci au verset 19.
Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. Have you noted? Things that are, that is, we start with the present. And the things which must happen after this, that is to say the seven churches. The messages to the seven churches are a prophecy in themselves and will probably describe the history of the church from the time John wrote, say from the first century AD until Jesus returns. So is the panorama. Now, if we go to the second introduction, well, we'll see that the request of the angel is somewhat different. I suggest we read it in chapter 4, chapter 4, verse 1. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. The Greek metatauta, after these things, what is described in this message to the churches is one thing, but what is described in the seven seals is something that must happen after. There is therefore a chronological sequence between the two, and this is a point which we shall discuss later. I now invite you to watch the third introduction, and we'll see how logical is the follow-up between the seals and trumpets, chapter 8, verse 1.
Chapitre 8, verset 1.
When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. The first element that we find here is a narrative element. There is no break in the text. It flows naturally. Chapter 8, verse 1. The Lamb opens the seven seals, and without transition, seven trumpets are given to the seven angels. This suggests that these seven trumpets will sound after the opening of the seven seals, but the text contains more specific things. If we go a little earlier in chapter 7, we found this in verse 3. Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. It is asked on the angels that will seal the foreheads of the servants of God, 124,000. It is asked to them not to hurt the earth and the sea until the foreheads of the servants of God be marked with the seal. There is here a chronological order. First, the sealing of the servants of God, and after that, harm could be done to the earth and the sea. We'll understand with more details how this is structured and what it means to hurt the earth and the sea. This is what happens with the first two trumpets. May I invite you to read with me chapter 8 as from verse 7? The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. Thus, damage is caused to the earth with the sounding of the first trumpet. Damage is done to the sea with the second trumpet. It is even specified that the land, the trees, are affected. And what was required in chapter 7 is not to hurt the earth, the sea, and the trees until we have sealed the forehead of the servants of God. Therefore, it is first of all questioned to seal the servants of God's forehead. That is what happens in chapter 7, and then to involve things that will hurt the earth and the sea, and this is what happens in chapter 8. So you see that there is a chronological order, and the trumpet sequence happens only when sealing is done and the seventh seal opened. There would still be other reasons, but we shall examine them very simply. As for now, we are trying to see the structure of the text, and I shall move a little further with the last link between the trumpets and the bowls. I suggest we read the end of chapter 11 and note what happens at the sounding of the seventh trumpet. First, verse 15. The sounding of the seventh angels sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And verse 19 will now guide us. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple, and there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, and earthquake, and great hail. In general, these signs are indications of the presence of God. But what the 24 elders in verses 17 and 18 utter is even more explicit. They said, Revelation 11, verse 17, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and you should destroy those who destroy the earth. These 24 elders announce the coming, the time of wrath. So the seventh trumpet brings us on the threshold of the anger. And we have already seen that the seven bowls are the expression of the wrath of God. So we shall come back to the expression to understand what precisely is the wrath of God. It is perhaps a little different from what we imagine. But this does not prevent the fact of being of dramatic events. And now that we have filled the gaps up to chapter 16, we shall see how to link together the following text with seven bowls, and I invite you to read with me the beginning of chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." Note the link. It is one of the seven angels holding the seven bowls who will present John the judgment of the great prostitute. The great prostitute is none other than Babylon. Let us read it in verse 5 of chapter 17. And on her forehead a name was written, "Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth." Now let's see another part that is also introduced by one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, and this happens in chapter 21, verse 9. Let us read it together. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." So, here we have the same presentation by one of the seven angels who hold the seven bowls. The presentation of an unfaithful wife, a prostitute, Babylon, and then a faithful wife, the New Jerusalem. And these are the last parts of the revelation. We see how this group is organized. Let me, by the way, point out that we have defined unintentionally and without seeking seven parts, seven churches, seven seals, seven trumpets, the woman and the dragon, seven bowls, the judgment of Babylon, and the New Jerusalem. That the judgment of Babylon and the New Jerusalem are the result of what happened with the seven plagues. That is to say that, after the seven plagues, there can be only two issues. Either we are part of the New Jerusalem, or we are of Babylon. But we do have also two converging arrows pointing to the seven plagues, the seven churches, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, finally leading to the seven plagues, and bringing us to the threshold of the first history. So, the seven churches and seals and trumpets, I shall call the first story. This story brings us to a point in history where we arrive just before the wrath of God. And then we have a second story that will use symbols that are usually used in the book of Daniel and that have not been used so far. Beasts, heads, horns, these are signs. And what is described here is a second story that brings us to the same point, that is to say, at the threshold of the wrath of God. So, the revelation can be summarized as follows. There are two stories. We have the church history and the history of those opposed to God's people. These two stories lead us to the same point, the wrath of God. And God will express himself through the seven plagues. But from there on, only two possible outcomes. Either we be part of Babylon, and as part of Babylon, we are to be judged. That is why we are presented with the judgment of Babylon. Or we be part of the New Jerusalem. And in that instance, there is no trial. It is question of being saved and enter through eternity in an intimate relationship with God. Thus, you have here a structure made of two convergent stories and two divergent stories. We are, for the time being, at the period of the seals. But things can move very quickly. And they are moving very quickly indeed. We shall see that the more we move in history, more details will be given to us concerning events to come. Choice will not be made when the plague will hit the world. It will then be too late. Everyone will have made his choice by then. But the choice is made now. It is made now, before the people is sealed, and this choice will lead us to two solutions, and there are only two, no intermediate solution. Either we be part of Babylon, or we be part of the New Jerusalem. So, the invitation is simple. The structure itself invites us to this choice. Choose to participate, to become participant of the New Jerusalem. This is God's call.